Hello, and welcome to another in a series of award-winning Financially Fit podcasts brought to you by the New Jersey Society of Certified Public Accountants. Today's podcast is on reassessing your investment strategy. With us is Michael Steiner. Mr. Steiner, a CPA and a certified financial planner, is a wealth manager at Regent Atlantic Capital in Morristown. Michael, good afternoon. Tell me, we've seen the upheaval in the financial markets in the last few months. So is now really the time to take your foot off the investment gas pedal, as it were?
Well, it certainly is tempting and can be a natural reaction to pain. It's very much like putting your hand on a hot stove. You know, your instinctive reaction is to pull it away, and most people want to react in that same way. However, investors really ought to look at it differently. I mean, think about when you're shopping in a store for a suit. You know, would you prefer to pay full price, full retail price, or wait until the price goes down? Now, most people I know, they want to wait for the price to go down. So it's unfortunate that when it comes to investment markets, that people have a tendency to want to buy when prices are up and sell when they're down. And it's been said by many pundits that the individual investor can be his or her own worst enemy.
Are there any good deals out there now because the stock market is lower than the last few years?
Oh, sure. There are a fair amount of good deals out there, but it can be difficult to distinguish the good ones from the bad ones. I mean, just because a stock has lost a lot of value and is perceived as being cheap, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a good deal. It may be justifiably cheap. And so while diversification did not offer a lot of protection during the worst 2 months of last year, it has paid off quite a bit this year. And we currently see some potential value in emerging markets and in short-term, high-quality corporate bonds, among others.
Okay. Any other sectors that people should be looking at? Real estate, gold, anything of that nature?
Real estate is an area where we do have some concerns, particularly on the commercial side. Gold is extremely speculative, and it doesn't generate a return, a stream of income. So with gold, the issue there is it's highly speculative and highly dependent on your timing, you know, in terms of when you get in and when you get out. So we're typically not favorable with regard to gold. There are no get-rich-quick schemes out there that work. Usually the ones that are getting rich are the ones that are selling those schemes. And investing is really a long-term proposition. And, there are short-term moves both up and down in that proposition, but it's extremely difficult to be able to time when those are going to happen. So you really do need to look at it from a longer-term perspective.
Now, because the markets are so volatile at this stage, should you be communicating more frequently with your financial advisor? And if so, what should you be talking about?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's interesting. When the markets are returning like 10 to 12% a year, it's pretty easy to be in the business of offering financial advice. But it's times like these where the advice and counsel of an advisor are indispensable. Now, I've heard far too many stories from people who've complained that they didn't hear from their advisor during this downturn. And quite frankly, I feel really sorry for these people, these clients of advisors who've been abandoned, because it's times like this where you need somebody to shepherd you through, somebody to answer that question, am I going to be okay? And that's where the advisors really need to step in and come up with a solution.
So the fact that, let's say, a typical advisor has a lot of clients doing a lot of hand-holding at this point, that's still no excuse for not returning a phone call?
Absolutely not. Where the advisor is making their money and holding him or herself out is in advising their clients. And to say that I've got too many clients and that's the reason why I didn't get back to you, I think is a pretty shoddy response. And I would question that relationship with an advisor if I were that client.
Now, when you do get your advisor on the phone, what is it that you should be discussing? What kind of strategies should you be laying down?
Well, I think what you want to be looking at is making an assessment of the damage, so to speak. I mean, you really want to know, okay, with all that we've been through, where does this leave us? And do we need to make any changes in our goals? Do we need to make any changes in our spending? Do we need to make any changes in our investments? And what's the right mix? I think from an investment perspective, the last thing you want to do is react to yesterday's news. You don't want to be in a position where, because we've seen a downturn and we saw a three-month financial storm, well, therefore, tomorrow is going to be bad as well. So we want to be careful not to overreact and not to make a decision today that might provide some temporary relief, but will really hurt you in the long run. And for people that would have done that in, say, the beginning of March, would have really missed out on quite a rebound.
Now, I've been reading recently about life cycle mutual funds. Can you tell our listeners what those are and what you think of them?
Basically, what a life cycle fund is, a mutual fund that will invest in a series of underlying mutual funds, so it's a bit more diversified, for a certain time period. So you might have one that will invest with a 10-year time horizon or a 20-year time horizon. And typically, as that fund is in duration, will tend to shift more from growth-oriented assets into conservative assets. They're typically okay for smaller investment amounts. So let's say you're first starting out as an investor and you're contributing to a new retirement plan. Many times they're offered within a plan. And what they do is they give you the benefit of diversification in one fund without having to make multiple purchases. And by cutting down on the purchases, you're also cutting down on those investment costs that would otherwise have a tendency to add up pretty quickly and eat away at the return. But I say once you've got a position somewhere around $50,000, that it'd be appropriate to look to diversify with individual funds and create a more customized portfolio.
Now, for our listeners who are dismayed with the current economy and perhaps rightly so and concerned, and they go with the money in the mattress approach, tell those folks why that's perhaps not the best investment strategy.
Well, you ever hear of inflation? Over time, inflation is one of the biggest enemies to any investment portfolio. I mean, at some point, we're going to have to pay back all the stimulus money that's been spread around, and that's likely going to lead to higher interest rates and inflation. So while the mattress option may help one sleep at night currently, it can also provide that you go broke over the long term, but at a nice, safe rate.
Well, Michael, thank you so much for this great information.
My pleasure.
And thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's Financially Fit podcast. To learn more about other financial issues, please visit the NJS CPA's consumer website at www.moneymattersnj.com. That's www.moneymattersnj.com. Money, 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 money.